We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and I'll reverse my order this time. My co-host for the show this week is Peter Myerson from the law firm Cohn, Rasnick, Myerson, and Plout. No additional comments needed.
Thank goodness. Jeff, as always, it's great to be here. I'm sorry it's so cold outside, but, you know, just because it's, you know, May and it's 8 degrees. Yeah.
Spring has sprung and the snow has fallen. I want to thank our great friends at The Social Scene who are hosting us for the whole month of April, the launch of spring and the sports season launches for many sports, by the way. And for those of you who have a social life, I encourage you, visit socialscene.me to see how they are bringing people together one event at a time. And, you know, that's relevant to our next guest, because our next guest is, you know, she's involved with events, correct?
Correct.
And it's Allison Nolan from Boston Harbor Cruises, and she's principal and GM. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's our pleasure. So for those who don't know, and clearly Peter does, he's a groupie. We got that before the mics were on. Tell us about Boston Harbor Cruises.
Sure. Boston Harbor Cruises is actually a family business. So I'm fourth generation and we're celebrating our 90th anniversary this year.
Kudos to you.
Yeah, wow. Thank you.
That's wow. Fabulous.
Yep. Thank you. So we're very excited about that. And I think what people might not know about Boston Harbor Cruises is how diverse the company is. We have an awful lot of offerings on a fleet of 52 vessels.
And you now have 52
vessels. 52 vessels in the fleet. Yep.
Wow.
And that makes us, as best as we know,
The sixth largest navy on the planet.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We could defeat some very, very small untrained navies, but probably not.
Mexico.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not. We could take them on a wonderful tour.
Yemen.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yemen. The Navy of Yemen you could beat.
Probably not. Yeah. But we have all sorts of different cruises, whale watching and fast ferries that go to Provincetown and Cape Cod. We take people out to the Boston Harbor Islands, National Recreation Area. Water taxis that run to 26 stops throughout Boston Harbor. A lot of ferries, commuter boats year-round for the MBTA, and some offshore support services, as well as sightseeing cruises and private events and sunset tours.
Holy cow. Third generation, fourth generation?
Fourth generation.
I'm fourth generation.
So I always like to go back to Rocky and Bullwinkle. I want to go in the Wayback Machine.
Sure.
Tell us the origins of the business.
Sure. Well, the company was founded in 26. So again, we're 90 this year.
1926.
Right. It was my great-grandfather, Matthew J. Hughes. And Matthew was one of those kids that just always knew what he wanted to be when he grew up. So he was like the three-year-old that looked at a firefighter and said, that's going to be me. And he loved boats, and he wanted to be a boat captain. And he holds the distinction of being the youngest licensed captain in the history of the Port of Boston because he lied about his age. So at the time,
as many people of that generation did.
Yes, yeah. Usually not when you're young. You do that when you're a little older, like
when they were trying to get into the army. When they were, they wanted to get into the army and serve. They lied about their age.
So he did that. He went down to the Coast Guard base. You were supposed to be 18 to sit for your license. He was 16. But you know, not everybody had a government-issued ID at that time. So if you looked like you may be 18, you would bring a distinguished-looking older gentleman with you, and they would say, "Is he 18?" And he said, "He sure is." So we sat for his license, received his captain's license, and worked out a deal with a local marina that he could borrow a boat, and that's how he started the company. So what he really did was half-hour cruises on the Charles River, and he charged 10 cents. And it wasn't tourists, it was West Enders and locals looking to get out of the summer heat. So if you can imagine what it was like to live in a four-story brick walk-up in the middle of July and August, it was almost unbearable. In those conditions. So people would be out on the stoops enjoying the banks of the Charles River just to be outside and stay cool during the hot summer months.
So he would ferry them up and down the Charles River just to be outside?
Just to be outside and to catch some breezes and to cool off, really.
What a clever guy. Mm-hmm. So what's the etymology of the business?
Sure. So he was on the Charles River for quite a long time. The company had a brief hiatus during World War II where my great-grandfather went and was a CB in the United States Navy.
A CB?
A CB. So they were sort of like
Chris
the builders.
Is very young. You have to say what a CB is.
CB is a builder of the Navy. So
okay.
S-E-A-B-E-E.
Oh, okay. And, see, Chris, you didn't know that, did you?
Yeah.
No.
No. And that was a trade that did really well for him when he came back, because there was a lot of Navy surplus equipment that you could purchase for relatively cheap, and that's what he did to build the fleet, and he did the renovation work on the vessels himself. He moved to downtown Boston right around 1967, was originally where the harbor towers are, and then was relocated when they decided to build the harbor towers to where we're at Long Wharf. This was before the New England Aquarium, before Faneuil Hall was Faneuil Hall Marketplace, before the Marriott Hotel. So we were really one of the pioneers of that area. And my great-grandfather thought, well, this is awful. Long Wharf is a terrible spot.
Really?
You know, this will be the end of the business. How can
have
I
a condo down
how can
there.
I sustain at Long Wharf? And, right. and look at it now. Long Wharf is really the center of the downtown waterfront.
Really
so how
right.
fortunate. Were we that change was made back in about 1969.
So what did he do to generate this really big business that you now have?
Yeah. Do you consider it a big business?
I think we're a small business. I really do. We have about 200 year-round employees, and we grow to about 650 seasonally. So it seems like a big business when you're there every day, but, you know, relatively it's a small family business still.
And how many family members are in the business today?
As partners, there's four of us, so it's the third and fourth generation. So my father, Rick, my uncle, Chris, and my cousin, Patrick, and I
now,
work together.
Was it your life ambition, like your great-grandfather, to come into the business mm-hmm. since the age of three, or did you sort of earn your way into it?
Yeah. Everybody in the family earns their way into this business, and particularly passenger vessel industry is a difficult industry to be in. These vessels and the operations come with an incredible amount of overhead. They're
no, that's
very
right.
heavy in maintenance costs. They're expensive to purchase and acquire, and they burn an awful lot of fuel. So unlike most things, fuel is almost our number one line item every single year, followed by maintenance and then payroll. So just until
boats
maybe
are never cheap.
They're never cheap. So it was always, the family business was always a struggle. You know, it was a tough business to be in. And when I grew up, it was sort of almost a cautionary tale. You know, you better pay attention and do well in school or you're going to end up in the family business. You know?
What was the punishment?
This is the penalty. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's the opposite of most families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. I'd like that.
Yeah. So I went off and went to college. And
I got to use that line.
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
That's
so,
a great one.
So this wasn't what I planned. I went to college. I was going to go to medical school. And then I was a little concerned about having so much financial burden from that and loans and, you know, growing up not in the most stable financial environment, because this is a difficult industry. I wasn't sure I wanted to do that. So I went back and worked at the family business, and I fell in love with it from there, and I've been there ever since.
What do you like about it best?
I think that it's a really exciting time to be an integral part of the Boston waterfront. There's so many exciting things happening in the city of Boston, particularly around the waterfront. It's a wonderful time in the city for tourism. We're starting to see
some renaissance time, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. So to be able
to be
a part of
it's not the same city I moved to in 1981
no.
at all.
No. And it's all good.
Yeah,
and it's
you know
all
what, you're
wonderful.
Right. Everyone yeah. we have on this show, no matter what walk of life, says this city is in bloom.
It is. It's a beautiful city. It's a clean city. It's a safe city. It's walkable.
Well, it's a safe city. There's no nightlife.
Yeah.
That's
and we're
the one
friendly.
Thing I would say. Yeah. I was just in Montreal last weekend with a friend yeah. from Boston, and we were out at 11 o'clock, and there were people all over the streets. And he made a comment. He goes, wow, there's people all over the streets. Are they going to go home soon? And I looked at him. I said, no, they're just coming out.
Yeah.
it's a quiet city in that way at night.
It is, yes. Yeah.
Right. But it is a great. It's a dynamic city during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is clean, and it is safe, and it's intelligent. And so you're riding that wave?
We are, and it's fun to be a part of it. It's fun to positively contribute to what's happening. So much of the waterfront is just beginning to be developed and
right.
utilized now. So it seemed like the city was disinterested in the waterfront for a very long time, and part of that was the central artery really cutting the waterfront off from the rest of the city and being a physical and emotional barrier to it being inviting. So once
I lived in the North End for a while.
I just said he was on. That's when I first met
yeah.
Peter. He was on the waterfront.
Yeah,
right.
I like being isolated.
Yeah,
but it was a very isolating.
Well, you do it well all on your own, Peter.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
So in many ways, the city really benefited from development along the waterfront not being in full bloom in the 70s and 80s, because we would have a much different, much less public access-driven waterfront than we do today.
Wow. And where do you see the business going in the next few years?
I think what's changing, you know, again, I keep saying the waterfront, but, you know, it is sort of important, is all of the development that's happening in South Boston. And that development is only partially done, and the density and the occupancy that will be for residents and jobs is completely new, and nothing that the city had conceived that area would have for density and use. And then East Boston is developing with some incredible residential communities that are coming online that are going to have the most spectacular views of downtown Boston. And that's really going to wrap the city around the harbor. And that means to me that water transportation and ferries and water taxis really are going to be an integral part in helping people get around what really is a brand new city with two brand new neighborhoods.
I have one last question. I'm going to take you sideways on it. Yep. You said water taxis. Are you watching the whole issue with taxis and Uber and that whole development of that in terms of how it may affect you ultimately as a water taxi company?
Yeah. I think we have 10 water taxis in the water, and they service 26 docks. And Boston is the only place in the country that has true on-call water taxi service. Most run loops. And that's because of that smart waterfront development that all these docks exist that we can run to. So I think that at the end of the day, you know, ground transportation will still have the lion's share of the market. But in many ways, the water taxis are such a unique and enjoyable way to get around town that they'll always be a niche.
I know people who do it.
Yeah. And what's neat about water transportation, and what will really make it key for the Seaport area and the water taxis, there's no traffic on the waterways. So the trip time will always be the trip time. And if you're trying to get around town during rush hour, you know, or to meet a friend for a drink at 5:30 p.m., a water taxi might take you a third of the time than a land taxi does.
How wonderful. You know, I'm going to beg you to come back again and talk to us.
It's a great story.
About the family business. I mean, you're just opening up a can of worms for me. It's just so exciting to listen to you. Allison, if somebody wants to find you and Boston Harbor Cruises, and I'm going to have a question for you as soon as we turn off the mics.
Sure.
How do they find you?
Oh, the easiest way, what everybody does now, is bostonharborcruises.com, or you just come right down to the waterfront. We're located on Long Wharf, right between the New England Aquarium and the Marriott Hotel.
Great. Thanks
for
being on the show.
Yeah,
we're
going to
book
My
you
pleasure.
Again, right? You're coming back?
Sure, anytime.
Great, thank
anytime,
you.
Anytime, love to.
Peter Morrison, you're going to come back again. We know you're a stalwart of the
show. I'm always back.
Right, you're a reporter, co-host, you name it. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Count on you for an insult at the end.
Don't worry, I don't mean it. Peter Morrison, I'm one of your biggest fans. My name is Jeffrey Davis from MAGE, and I just, again, I want to thank, if I'm talking about being a fan, thank our hosts this month of April, The Social Scene. Visit thesocialscene.me to see how they're bringing people together one event at a time. They're changing the way the world is organizing their social life. Thanks for hosting us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.